Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Jason Vannetti, the voice of the White Sox. The Ozzie and boom, boom, boom that we just heard during the update.
Moncada, he was the type of guy, he show up one day, you boom, boom, boom.
Needs to be put to music it from does. That song from yes. the 90s. Boom, 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 boom. I want you in my room.
Boom, 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 boom.
I want you in my room.
Boom, 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 boom.
I want
a double.
Boom. In my room. Isn't that the lyric?
Boom, boom, boom.
Probably.
Boom, boom, boom.
I'll Google it.
Boom, boom, boom.
We need to do that.
Boom, boom, boom.
Black Eyed Peas did a boom, 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 too.
Yeah, there's that one for sure.
I'm sure Tanny's already remixed it in his head, and he just has to get it onto SoundCloud.
And it goes a little something like this.
Boom, boom, boom.
Gotta get that.
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 Boom, boom, boom.
That boom, boom, boom.
That boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
Okay, we got him.
Boom.
Boom.
McNeil and Perkins Show.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
In case anyone ever forgot that Chris Tannehill was a DJ in a past life. Very impressive. We appreciate him putting together the Open. Even though he's off today, he's at Sox opening day. Sox on top of the Mariners, by the way, 5-1.
Yeah, Tim Anderson, a two-run knock just moments ago. Keep the line moving, boys, as Farmio would say.
And then it's what? It's Tim Beckham for the Mariners, their shortstop. Three errors in one inning. It's tough to do.
Wow.
Yeah. Yoan Moncada had a bases-clearing double. And they're on top of the Mariners 5-1.
I love the bases-clearing double.
We've
seen it twice. Braves hitters against Cubs. Bases loaded, double, three runs scored. We saw that in the last two Cubs games. We wish it would have been the other way around there. But the three-run double, Danny, is something that's very, very cool. I only did it once, and I got it. Other than hitting a home run, there isn't much more in baseball from a hitter's standpoint that's more satisfying than a three-run double. A ball you drill, hit right on the nose, off the wall on a hop or two. That's what you live for. That's why you play the game. Three-run doubles are good.
I get the same thing.
Do
you? Three-run doubles are good. I like inside the park home runs. It's a more exciting play. There's usually a play at the plate. But, they say ducks on the pond.
Ducks are on the pond under the high skies.
Oh, man, that's exactly right. Cubs lineup is in, man.
Oh, here we go.
For a, we can't even mock this, right? Big series against the Brewers? Anyone got a problem with big series against the Brewers?
I would agree that it's a big series, but I would put in parentheses after the word series for April. It's a big series for April.
Yeah, I got no caveats.
Okay.
I'll go big series.
All right. And I'm not going to freak
down
out.
Seven and a half out.
Yeah,
if you get swept.
I know. Like, I know. Things look bad.
That's a problem.
We've got to keep our composure.
Yeah, we all got to stay calm.
All right, let me ask you guys a question.
Sure.
If you're feeling like this thing is slipping away already, and it appears you do. That's my read on it.
It's in danger of slipping away early.
All right. Do you have anything going for you that you can hang your hat on? Is there any element that is a requisite component of a winning baseball team that's present despite the 1-5 start for the Cubs?
Sure. The offense has been okay.
They lead baseball in batting average. They're number one in on-base percentage. Yeah. They're hitting home runs. There's only a few teams ahead of them in home runs, and most of them have played seven or eight games.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they hit back-to-back home runs last night when they were down 9-0.
Okay, home runs nonetheless.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, right, but I'm just like
I know.
Honestly, the stats, one way or another, don't mean much to me right now.
Okay, but you're hitting. You don't have to.
They clearly are hitting.
At least you're not going through what you saw in September. That is an enormous relief that guys are hitting the hoochie.
That's true. They're losing in a different way than they did in September.
That's right.
They're changing it up.
At least they're scoring runs. Bet the overs and just have a drink.
Listen, I can do both of those things. I've got a ton of experience doing both of those things. I think they're talented. I think they'll be fine. I don't want to panic. I don't enjoy panic. But I wish the Brewers weren't on the schedule right now. And by the way, the Brewers are not even world beaters. They're 6-1, but their run differential is only +3.
Yeah.
They've won every one-run game that they've played. That's obviously not sustainable. Corey Knebel's out for the year. That'll hurt them. Josh Hader eventually will get overworked. But Yelich is awesome. Hader's awesome. The series is in Milwaukee. And I don't care who you are. You don't want to be 6-7 games back 10 days into the season.
It's just that, you know, no, of course you don't. I just I think they're too talented to bury them if they have a dreadful first couple weeks of the season. I won't do that. I understand why it's because you waited for so long for this thing after the quick exit last year and absolutely nothing to get excited about locally with United Center occupants this winter. It's a sucky start to a baseball season. I can't remember one that has felt worse than this one with such high expectations.
Well, right. That caveat is tough because there haven't been that many baseball seasons in my lifetime that have had really high expectations.
Okay. Fair enough.
There have been 10, maybe?
Yeah. Before you were here, in 85, there were high expectations, and that was a dreadful year after a division championship season and one in which they should have gone to the World Series. But that was more of an August fall apart, but it didn't start as well as everybody had hoped, but not nearly as disastrous as this. And if it's just one or two guys in the bullpen, you wouldn't think, you know, it's the end of the world, but it's pretty much every damn one of them.
Correct.
With no sign of Brandon Morrow in your near future.
Yeah. And then again, if you lose 2 of 3 to the Brewers, you're coming home for opening day 5.5 games out of first place.
In April. Yep.
Plenty of time. Plenty of time, right. Obviously. But man, you don't want to have your home opener 5.5 games out of first.
They can't lose a division before they've played a home series, can they?
This is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic.
That's what I'm saying. It feels like it's panic-ish. It's panic-ish is where we are right now.
It's panic-ish because it's exactly the things that have been bad are exactly what you were worried about. And that makes it that much worse. Like if it was they were losing 2-1 each one of these games and just not scoring, it'd be kind of like the same thing last year. It'd be all right, the bats are going to turn up. The weather turns up, the bats are going to turn up. Like that's not the case. It was all right, outside of, well, what Kyle Hendricks, what do you trust pitching? And Lester's been okay, but otherwise starters haven't done much for you. And you look at the bullpen, it was all right, I trust Pedro Strop. And the whole bullpen outside of Kinsler has been a disaster so far. It's just what you knew or thought strongly was going to be an issue has been as big of an issue as you could imagine.
It's been worse because you didn't expect Montgomery and Cishek to be a disaster the way they've been.
Right. I mean, Almora makes a leaping catch at the wall to save Montgomery giving up what would have made probably would not have been a home run. But that guy is just getting tattooed.
Yeah.
Every ball that he throws is getting hit hard. So, OK, not great.
Mm-hmm.
You pull Darvish and he's at 70 pitches and has allowed one run, hasn't recorded an out in the fifth inning. Edwards comes in. Instantly, ball 2 spikes it into the ground. Contreras needs to make a diving catch. There's two runners on.
Yep.
Ball 3, wild pitch, scores a run. Now you're down 2.
Again, one thing leads to another with you, Darvish, too. It seems to pile up on him, and he any little, you know, bump, and he's got issues getting out of it.
I'm with you, but it's just, man, it was a 3-2 pitch. It was a little inside. Contreras can't squeeze it. So so he couldn't even attempt to try to frame it to give Darvish the benefit of the doubt. So he walks. Now it's runners on first and second. And who does Maddon have to go to? CJ Edwards.
Yeah.
And then pulls him. Who does he have to go to? Tyler Chatwood.
As predicted. Have to do it. You got to throw somebody out there.
I know, but so they had walked 6 guys through 4 innings, and then they turned to the man who led Major League Baseball in walks last year.
Exactly. After being shut down in early August. That's an incredible feat. for Tyler Chatwood last year.
So the bad baseball is on the north side of town. The good baseball is being played at Guaranteed Rate Field. We go to the upper tank and welcome in the Content Factory, our operations manager, Shane Reardon, who's at opening day on the south side. What's the atmosphere like at Sox Park, Shane?
Let me tell you something, Danny. It is absolutely electric. There are somewhere between 10,000 and 75,000 people here. There are so many people, I couldn't even give you an exact number. I had to step out into the concourse because it is that loud. Studs play some crowd noise or something just to make me believable. It is very loud here and warm.
and warm. And the score doesn't hurt either. That's got to feel good. Sox come absolutely out of the gate swinging the bats again, Shane.
I was telling Shep on the phone before this, we deserve this as White Sox fans who have gone through years and years of pain and strikeouts upon strikeouts upon strikeouts. Adam Dunn and Yoan Moncada last year, and Yo-Yo comes up and almost cranks a grand slam. The place was on its feet. It feels good. I want more of it, and I'm hooked.
What was the atmosphere like when Eloy had his first at-bat at Guaranteed Rate Field?
It was like half standing, half sitting. Like me and Kevin Zipak, were standing up for like 15 seconds, and then everyone just kind of sat down, and then he struck out. So might be a bust. We'll see. 6 games in, I still have a little bit of faith.
And some of the pomp and circumstance around today's game. I know Harold Baines threw out a ceremonial first pitch, and Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot, I guess, dribbled one up there. Tell us more about the atmosphere.
Yes, hat tip to Rick Camp and Herb Lawrence. Lori Lightfoot looking more like Lori Heavy Hand. She was about 15 feet away from home plate, and she bounced it in. It was okay. It's nice to see her here. She's a season ticket holder. That was nice. Harold Baines is up there. Everybody's riding in on their Mustangs, sitting on the top row, having a good time. Everyone's yelling for Yomar Sanchez, not really understanding that he's not a very good baseball player, but he's fun on Instagram. It's been a nice atmosphere, and it's nice to see that. I wouldn't call it packed at the least. I mean, the lower deck isn't even anywhere near packed. But the fans that are here seem to be into the mediocre baseball that's being played. And that's an upgrade, I'll tell you that.
Have you been out to the Goose Island with all the new craft beers yet? And how many beers deep are you right now?
I'm only one deep. I had a gumball head. It was nice to have a gumball head. I didn't get the chance to have one of those last year. I don't think they had 3 points of gumball head. But the Goose Island craft beer island thing looks cool. We've got a pretty good view of it. There's a nice contrast between the black and the white seats against the walls, and there's a giant goose up top, and it's packed to the brim right now. There are tons of people out there really enjoying all of those beers on a Friday afternoon. I definitely will make it out there sometime this season. It is, and the sun's coming out right now as I'm talking to you, as I bring the rays of sunshine to the 35th and Shields and the Camelot Park and Show.
Thank you, Shane. Enjoy the game.
Shane, have bye, fun, guys. All right? Have another thank beer. You. Get to number 2.
Okay, 7 more. Bye-bye.
Bye. Right. That's see our guy, you. Shane Reardon.
Yeah, Sox Park and Wrigley both stepping up their games this year when it comes to creature comforts. 3 Floyds beer available on both sides of town. Good to have Munster, Indiana represented.
Craft beer, man. You know, listen, they can sell it for 12, 13, $14 a pop.
Ooh, I know.
Will drink anything.
I know. People yeah. used to complain about $7 a pop. Now they're lining up to pay double that for a crafted beer.
Yeah. Zombie dust at Wrigley Field.
Oh.
I'll be honest, I'm in.
You're going to have a few Monday?
Yeah. Well, I guess we're working after the show Monday, but yeah, I'll probably have a beer or two.
Working, air quotes, 45 minutes.
Yeah, you're right.
And plus, if things continue the way they are, might want to go Harry Doyle and have a bottle of Jack Daniels from Pat and Ron's booth.
Redemption Rye Whiskey. We could have some of that.
There you go.
But yeah, and also if they keep going to the bullpen for 5-6 relief pitchers a game.
We don't have a show to worry about.
Yeah, we won't be on.
Very true. Boy, I didn't consider that.
Yeah.
Some of these games
these
are just
have not been quick hitters.
No, it's like Mark Burley, where have you gone? It's a 4-hour
investment. Burley games in by the time you get through a Cubs game this year.
I'm serious. What is their average length of game? 7 of them in. It's got to be 340?
I would guess
at least 3 of them have gone 4 hours, right? At least 3 of them.
The opener was pretty efficient, right, with Lester.
That 12-4 final?
Oh, yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it was at least 3.
Yeah, it's long.
They've had one quickie. And it was a good that it was quickie because that was the one where they made six errors.
The six errors and they got shut out.
Cubs are playing the second longest games in baseball to start the year. Jeez. Average of 3 hours and 29 minutes.
3:29.
Bested only by Arizona, who also can't get anybody out.
Yeah, great. That's the team that the Cubs are jockeying with for the worst pitching stats in baseball. They're neck and neck in almost every category.
Dodgers are right there, too, but that's because they are doing that damage and chasing every other opposing pitcher out.
Right, exactly. It's because they're hitting the hell out of the ball. And remember, the Diamondbacks are actively tanking. They're one of the teams that's trying right. not to win.
Yeah, and the Cubs distance themselves a little bit in the not where you want to either, in the whip department last night. They increased their league lead to something like 0.34. That's a third of a point. Third of a run. Are you kidding me? Man.
It's bad.
It's like 2.05. The Diamondbacks are 1.74. It's just crazy.
It's not good. You guys know I didn't stumbled into this accidentally. The Cubs pitchers used this year are the second oldest of any team on baseball on average. Only the Oakland A's have an older average age of their pitchers that have been used. Doesn't really make it feel like it's going to get a ton better, does it?
This is going to be a fun show, isn't it? Let's count the ways. I came in here trying to bring cheer and tell you about the things your offense is doing and leading the league in on-base percentage. That's the Cubs' way. Get on base and good things will happen.
Well, we have one caller on the line right now that says that the Cubs are already done for him. So... 312-644-6767. It's a baseball celebration-ish on McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
This one's lined up the middle for a base hit. One run is in. Two runs are in. Here comes a third run. A bases-clearing double for Nick Markakis to blow the game wide open. It is 5-0 Atlanta here in the fifth inning.
Zach Zaidman on the call right here on the Score. The top of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the Big Ten West champion Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale at nusports.com. And the hour is brought to you by Continental Auto Sports. Searching for the pre-owned exotic of your dreams? Search Continental Auto Sports for the Continental difference. Just to peel back the curtain a little bit, our guy Studs, Adam Studzinski, is in for Chris Tannehill. And he let us know what he was going to be coming out with of the break there. He goes, I'm going to bump you guys out with one of Nick Markakis' RBI doubles. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Just he had so many
one.
To choose from.
Right, shooting fish in a barrel, cutting up opposing offense highlights. That's easy, picking any.
I just wanted to be clear with you guys where we were going.
Yeah.
Oh, you're good. Direction. Oh, you did good. You did the right thing, yeah. That's when I bailed. The Markakis 3-run double. That was enough for me. Finished it this morning. What I needed to finish of it, I went to Goodfellas. I needed to laugh.
That's an upgrade. that is an upgrade.
I found a movie flaw in Goodfellas last night, and I can't believe it's taken me this long to get to it.
Do you want to save it for when Tanny is here?
I considered that.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Please, yeah, by all means, yeah, share. He's going to be heartbroken.
That. We could always do it again Monday.
Yeah, the audience is always changing.
It is, and they're, the Sox are killing us right now anyway. Right.
Yeah. Nothing about it. For sure. Let's. All right. What do you got?
There's a time I went during Karen's narration when she's describing how attracted she was to Henry Hill and how he was so well connected at such an early age. She says he's 21 years old, but if you do the math based on when they put the dates of events on the screen for you, he then would be, in fact, 23 years of age, or at least going on 23 years of age, because he was 13 in 1955, and then when he's standing with his buddies at Idlewild Airport, it's 1963, so the math doesn't sync up.
Huh.
Yeah, and I've never noticed that before. It's minutiae.
Oh, no, that matters. I'm not saying it makes the movie worse, but I mean, that's some of a mistake that I feel like if you're right on that, and I believe you, I am surprised the internet hasn't solved that problem before. Like, that should be a well-known mistake in Goodfellas.
You'd think. Okay. Yeah. Huh. I'm not downgrading the movie, though. I still love it. It's still going to be a top 10. It's in my top 10. If it's not, it's on the periphery of it. It always will be.
I love your list of the top 100 that you don't really know. It's like, was that movie in the top 100?
It's hard to remember. Yeah, it is. I'm pretty sure Goodfellas is top 10.
Okay. Chef, look that up for us if you...
No, it's not important.
I'm curious.
It's not.
The math being off drops it from 9th to 12th. Let's hear from Russ in Des Plaines, who says he's done with the Cubs. What's up, Russ? You're on the score.
Yeah, Cubs. Everyone's panicking. You know, I look at it like the season goes 10, 15 games. 15-game periods. So it's dimensions. Like, there's 15... There's 10, 15 things. We're in the first one, not even halfway through, right? So it's a period, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about, Russ.
This is like right, one Smith's long lost
Start over, Russ. Let's go. What do you all right, start
they
again.
They don't have Kimbrel. They're going to get Kimbrel.
They're not going to get
Kimbrel. We got Morrow and we got Brock. They're not even in the bullpen yet. Now, Darvish is going to be fine. When Steve Stone and Smoltz says that this guy's no good, then I'll believe it. Okay? Outside of that, he's going to be fine. All right?
Okay, well, Steve Stone does the White Sox games.
He's a done deal, right?
Steve Stone does the White Sox games, Russ.
I don't care, but I'm just saying, as an analyzer, as a pitcher, I listen when Smoltz talks or Stone talks about a pitcher, when they talk about a pitcher, what his problem is, when he says this guy's got a problem, then I'll listen, okay? He's got a little hump into him. But he's going to come back, Mr. Darvish. And even if he doesn't, they're backed up. They got five other guys on that staff that are pretty solid. When I bet, you know, Oakland
Russ,
last
Russ,
year.
Russ.
Man.
Did you tell Shep that you had a 10-1 Cubs World Series ticket and the dream was over? What happened between when you went on hold and now?
Now I was stupid. I should have waited. I could have got him at 15. You know, I'm looking at futures. The guy, my guy in Vegas at the time, every casino we went to, and they were like 6-1, 7-1. That's for the go off away. And he found a place at 10-1, okay? I pounced on it because I'm thinking, like, I didn't even want the Cubs because I bet multiple teams. I got safeties on safeties on safeties. But I thought that was the bargain. You got Boston, you got L.A., you got the Yankees, whatever. Whatever the futures were. I like the futures. Well, in other words, I got Seattle at 300-1, and I threw $20 on them. Like
they're 7-1 right now. That's looking pretty good.
You know, yeah, like that means something. How about Boston? They were the world champs. What are they? They're 2-6.
They're starting very poorly, yes.
All right. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. But baseball is a funny game, and you go up and down, and all these. But why the Cubs didn't get Kimbrel is beyond me.
Russ, are you the guy who said he's the Khalil Mack waiting to happen? No.
All right, Russ,
I said, what'd they do with Baggio? What happened to Baggio? Because what?
That was two pitching coaches ago, Russ.
Because of Lester.
All right, Russ.
Baggio, he's shopping at the Jewels.
Who's laughing now? Shut up.
Two pitching coaches ago. All right.
I like Russ.
Me too.
That's a good one.
Okay.
That guy.
Things are happening.
That guy's electric.
Goodfellas is number 9 on Mac's list.
Goodfellas number 9. Yeah, okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Love me some number 9.
And it remains number 9 despite a little bit of a math glitch.
We're not the math show.
We're not. That was, people just, you know, get him on. There's our baseball expert. We get Russ in Des Plaines with that call. You guys who are texting in, you're right. He should be a regular. And then whenever anyone texts us, is brought to you by MegaPros. Repair, remodel, renovate, megapros.com.
Hey, and the score is going to be at the Cubs home opener Monday, broadcasting all day. The Country Club in Wrigley. Mully and Haw lead off from 5-9, followed by Bernstein and McKnight and Lawrence Holmes, and then Zach Zaidman on Cubs pregame until 1:20. The home opener broadcast is sponsored by White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure.
So Claw.
Claw. Is this Claw?
Anything that rhymes with Haw is Claw.
Is this Claw? Is this Claw?
Good to see you smiling.
Thanks,
I wasn't so sure earlier.
Yeah? Well, you know, man. life's hard sometimes, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's just sports. You recognize that.
Oh, trust me, nothing about not smiling has anything to do with the Cubs. I can promise you that.
A tick edgy midstream yesterday during the show, and I hope you had a good night.
And before the show. Yeah.
Even before, I didn't notice that.
No, I know you didn't. But that's okay. Life happens. But that's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That's okay.
All right.
So, yeah, I try not to bring it to work, but sometimes.
We had a glitch or two while we were in flight yesterday, and those things happen.
Yeah.
Gotta shake them off.
Oh, I know you gotta shake them off, but no, trust me, the Cubs being bad is the least of anyone's life's problems, man.
Okay,
sports are
right.
A diversion,
see,
my friend.
That's how it is.
Bottom of the hour, brought to you by Northwestern Football. Spring football is underway. Join Coach Fitz and the Cats this fall at Ryan Field.
Got them coming up.
Yeah, that's exciting. Matchups include Ohio State and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. I'm not looking for Bears. Buy your Northwestern tickets, obviously. They sponsor the top and bottom of the hour. They're great friends of the Score. But no. You say sometimes we just need baseball to get us to training
camp.
Build
us a bridge. I used to say that in the 90s.
No. This team needs to be much more than that.
I hear you.
I can't just be about padded practice.
I just perish the thought of another calendar year without at least one playoff victory from a Chicago team, unless you're counting DePaul trying to capture some double elimination third-level college basketball tournament
title. CBI tonight.
Yeah, the CBI. I didn't know until earlier in the week you can lose a game and keep going. There's
best
a loser's bracket. Yeah.
Oh, there's a loser's bracket, and then for the final, it's a best of three.
It's not the NCAA.
It's not the NIT.
It's not the NIT. And you can lose a game, but still go on and win the trophy. If that isn't participation recognition, I don't know what is.
It somehow makes money. I don't know how, but it somehow makes money.
And they're playing at Old Alumni Hall? Is that right?
Yeah, they're on campus. It's the game's in Lincoln Park tonight.
Wow. They still call it Alumni Hall?
Show trip, yeah.
Do they still call it Alumni Hall?
I have
Did they get the Meyer Center? Did it get a new... Right, because they've been elsewhere forever.
Yeah. A
couple of places.
Three or four different places.
Yeah.
I walked by the Meyer Center when we were at a remote a week or so ago. I have no idea if that's where they play basketball or not. I just know it was the Meyer Center because the sign said so.
Yeah. Doesn't that building only seat about 6,000 fans? 7,000?
You think that's a concern for the CBI?
That's what I'm wondering. Huh? This is a... who's going? You don't know. I mean, you got enough seats
Friday
for all
night
those.
In the city. You're going to watch the CBI deciding game three.
Yeah. Lawrence is an alumnus of DePaul, and he wasn't even sure if he was going.
Yeah. Not a great advertisement.
Not just an alumnus, but like an actual fan.
And professor.
Yeah, professor, right. He's on staff there.
Yeah, he's considering it. Coming up next, Bart Winkler. Milwaukee's like the epicenter of the sports universe. Giannis is trying to win an MVP. McCarthy and Rodgers are whatever the hell that is, and the Brewers are 6-1. We talk to Bart next on the Score.
The Cubs down to their last strike. Rizzo trying to get a hold of one with Bryant on deck. The 1-2 pitch. Rizzo hits a fly ball into right center field. It is playable for Broxton. Broxton is there, and Milwaukee has won the Central Division title.
Done without that. That was last season. Pat Hughes with the call. Cubs end up in the one game wild card. Brewers win the division.
While we're at it, why don't we play Cody Parkey's Clanks from 2018? Anything that's gone bad lately for the Bulls or the Blackhawks? Yeah, let's just...
No shortage of examples there.
Yeah, we'll do the opposite of greatest hits. We'll do a feel-bad Friday show.
Ronaldo Lopez just gave up a two-run homer. Sox still on top of the Mariners, 6-4 for the Sox home opener. But everything's going on in Milwaukee. Bucks are the number one overall seed. There's all sorts of fallout on dysfunction between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, and the Brewers are 6-1. Cubs in Milwaukee tonight. To start what, I'll call a big series as we're joined by our Milwaukee correspondent from the Chuck and Winkler show, 105.7 The Fan, Bart Winkler. What's up, Bart?
Hey, why are the Cubs so bad? I don't get it.
Oh, well, you haven't been paying attention then. It's called bad bullpenning. That's what it is, Bart. But congratulations to you and your team for a fantastic start. Everything's got – man, I bet Brewers fans are just a-jumping for this weekend.
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting because there was so much talk in the offseason about how they're not going to play it like last year. This is not last year's team. It's a new team. You got to move on. But this first two series, it seems a lot like last year where the games are tight. They're finding ways to win. Josh Hader's been electric. Christian Yelich has been putting up, you know, MVP numbers again, at least in that first series with a home run for four straight games. So it's been really awesome. The team is playing well. The bullpen, we've had questions about that here. They're stepping up. So it's been a good time up here, man. And this series is going to be interesting because if the Brewers take 2 or 3 or even sweep it, then that's going to be, you know, nothing's over in April, but it does seem like the Brewers are at least recognizing the importance of these early season games. And it seems like the Cubs are doing that too, because there's a bunch of panic after a week because both these teams know how tight this division should be. And right now the Brewers are performing, and again, the Cubs aren't.
The Brewers are 6-1, but their run differential is only +3. They've won every one-run game. Do they look like a juggernaut to you? Is this sustainable? Like, what's happening with the actual outcome of these games?
Well, it's been a lot of Christian Yelich carrying the offense, and then it's been the Josh Hader show. He's come in and delivered in every opportunity, throwing basically just fastballs to get these guys out, but nobody can hit him. So as long as the Brewers can get to him, and then on the days that he wasn't available, the other guys did do their job and step up. So it's really, I mean, it's been the Josh Hader show. This is a team that's built offensively first, and so they should be putting up more runs than they have so far. Mike Moustakas, a guy that they brought in again. Yasmani Grandal has not really delivered at the plate yet. People were worried about Jesus Aguilar regression. So far, he hasn't looked the part at first base like he did last year. So if these guys can, Travis Shaw, you know, could do better. So if these guys hit where they're supposed to be on paper, the one-run games shouldn't be happening as much as they are. But if they are, and Josh Hader's available, then the Brewers are going to win those games.
Bart, what type of profile has Yelich carved out for himself in Milwaukee, a town that is not steeped in celebrities unless they're athletes?
Yeah, well, we have one lawyer that's on every commercial, on every show, so he's like the number one celebrity in town. I'm probably top five, to be honest, just because there's nobody else available. He's carved out a very good celebrity. He says all the right things. He's gracious with fans. You know, he's another unassuming kind of guy. And just like with Giannis here with the Bucks, I mean, you've got two guys that are about the city. They're about the fans. They play hard, and they get the job done. So you look at the three teams that we really sink our teeth into, the two in the city and then obviously the Packers. And it's like Yelich and Giannis are beloved right now, and then people look at Rodgers and are like, what's going on with this guy? So Yelich is probably – I mean, I would think it's Giannis, Yelich, and Rodgers if you had to rank how fans love them, with Giannis and Yelich a close one too. I mean, those guys are they're doing everything the right way. The town completely fell in love with the Brewers, even if you were just a fringe fan or maybe never supported baseball. I mean, I've never seen anything like it with this team last year. So Yelich is certainly a high profile and the highest on the team.
Bart Winkler, 105.7 in Milwaukee, morning host, is our guest. Okay, so is Aaron Rodgers falling out of favor off of this report in Bleacher Report with him and Mike McCarthy?
I think Aaron Rodgers has fallen out of favor for a while. I mean, if you saw what you guys did last year and even the year before that you could see the things reported in that report, you could see a lot of it or a lot of question marks, you know, on the field. And I think the body language, I mean, we probably said Jay Cutler's name more again last year in comparison than we have in a few years. And he's yelling at younger guys and him not getting along with the coach and then taking shots through the media. Rodgers is still like, I mean, we understand how good he is, and we understand that the team probably goes absolutely nowhere without him. But all these stories and, you know, Greg Jennings and Jermichael Finley, when these guys pop up on TV, sure, we want to get mad at them because they're saying something about our beloved Aaron Rodgers. But the stories keep coming out. This Bleacher Report article, very damning. Rodgers is, as soon as he beats the Bears week one, you know, by 20 points, he'll be the number one guy again. But right now, there are a lot of question marks about what kind of guy he is.
What are the Packers doing to handle the PR fallout from this? Anything?
I saw they put an Instagram post on 2 days ago, maybe, that was Rodgers, and it said, our quarterback. I mean, that's about it. I don't know what they would do. They haven't really had to deal with anything like this. I mean,
do you suspect, Bart, do you suspect Rodgers will hold court soon to get this thing cleared up and move forward?
I mean, he'll hold court when he interviews again, but he's not going to come out if they're not at a football activity. I mean, whenever he's available again and a question is asked, he'll answer, but I don't think he's going to do anything to try to dispute anything. The last thing that I saw him post was just a thank you for TJ Lang and Josh Sitton retiring. Rodgers is not going to come out and try to be a PR machine against us. If he's going to do anything, it's going to be use it as fuel to prove that he was the better of the two between him and McCarthy. And you'll see that show up on the field. I don't know how he'll approach it when asked about it, but he is not going to be the one to force that conversation back on the table. Reporters will have to wait until he's available again.
We have Giannis to win the MVP at 5-1 from before the season, $200 to win 1,000. You think we're going to cash that ticket?
Oh, dude, I do. And I'm so glad you guys are on board with that. 3 years ago, we were talking about, would you rather have Giannis 3 years ago or Kevin Durant? And we all took Durant at the time, but I said, guys, there's something special about Giannis to my morning show. I think he's going to win an MVP someday. So my co-host, he gave me 5-1 odds for $100. So I'm going to win 500 when he wins the MVP. So I'll take my money. I'll meet up with you guys and your money, and we'll go out and get a nice dinner somewhere.
Yeah, we'll have pizza and pierogies to celebrate both of our city's heritages.
Real pizza, not lasagna pizza.
Oh, relax. It's National or International Deep Dish Day.
Yeah, it is Deep Dish Day. All around the world, people are acknowledging the deep dish pie today. And we have to go along with it because it's Deep Dish Day. But I'm with you. 364 days a year, I'll go thin crust.
I like deep dish. Who's the worst?
I like it. It's just, it's not pizza.
Fair enough. Who's the worst matchup for the Brewers? Obviously the Warriors in the finals, but in the East, who's the one team you don't think they want to see?
I'm personally worried about the Celtics. I think that every time the Bucks have played the Celtics, it's like all these series, Bucks, Raptors, Sixers, I think those series are going to pretty much go according to script, where it's going to go six or go seven. And it'll be a real tough battle like you saw last night, Bucks-Sixers, where the Bucks won. But I think with the Celtics, they've got guys that at least against the Bucks have closed out games better. Al Horford murders the Bucks. You know, they want those guys, they want their opponents to shoot threes, and Horford can make them. Kyrie Irving murders the Bucks. I'm more worried about, like, those two guys and the Marcus Smarts of the world against Milwaukee than I am against, you know, Kawhi Leonard or even Joel Embiid, who's, I mean, I think he's the top player in the league, but Giannis got the better of him last night. So for me personally, it's the Celtics that I don't want to see. But I think that right now the Bucks are in a point where I just, as long as they're healthy and Malcolm Brogdon coming back, I can't see a team where they play seven games, beating them four of those seven games right now in the East. I have a hard time seeing that. So I'll say the Celtics, but I think the Bucks still win, at least the way they're playing and the health stuff, against anybody in the East right now.
Bart Winkler, 105.7. I'd say good luck with this series, but I don't mean it at all, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Enjoy the weekend, Bart.
Yeah, you too, boys. Good to talk to you.
We'll see you.
That's Bart Winkler. Yeah, I probably eat regular thin crust pizza 80% of the time. But I love deep dish pizza. I love it all.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as bad pizza.
No, there really isn't. Even when you're tired of pizza, as I've been lately. What did I have? There's pizza.
Yeah.
I just said yesterday, I'm kind of pizzaed out. Oh, there's pizza?
Pan pizza.
Have some pizza.
Deep dish pizza. It's all good. It's all pizza.
Yes.
You can't mess it up.
I've put fruit on it, and you mess it up.
I'm fine with it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, not for me.
I don't go out of my way to have it, But yeah, if there's some pineapple on a pizza, that's fine.
Have you had Italian beef pizza?
I have.
Oh, God. When I was first described to me, I'm like, Italian beef? That doesn't go on pizza. Oh, my God. Is it fantastic?
It sure does. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I love giardiniera on pizza.
Let's get some now.
We had like 8 pizzas out there before.
Yeah, that's true. The West End by the United Center has a fantastic
Italian beef pizza.
Yeah, tremendous.
Yeah. I really don't think that there's such thing as bad pizza. But, you know, people are, we're weird here in Chicago, I feel like. People are very provincial about pizza and very defensive of their spot and deep dish in New York. It's all good.
It is all good. And it boils down to this: 95% of the time, you're passionate about the pizza with which you grew up. Well, the pizza you grew up eating is probably the one that you still favor.
It's like your baseball team.
Yes.
You had some audio that we wanted to get to on whatever the hell's going on in Green Bay that might dispute some of what we heard over the last couple of days with that reporting. And Matt Spiegel will be in studio for all your baseball fixings coming up at 4 on The Score.